It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, in his farewell address, President Obama admits that all the conspiracy theories you've heard about him are actually true. He admits that he's part of a new Black Panther movement going door to door to confiscate guns, that he's imposing both socialism and Sharia law on America, and he admits to the biggest conspiracy theory of all, that he is actually a serpent-tongued alien, and he peels off his human mask to show us that startling fact. Just one of the many zany storylines fans found recently in This Modern World. It's a weekly comic strip launched way back in 1991, comments on current events with political and social satire. Today, This Modern World appears in over 80 newspapers across the U.S. and Canada regularly, and fans of the comic strip may not know that its creator grew up in Iowa City. Dan Perkins, who goes by the pen name Tom Tomorrow, has been given many awards for his work. Dan recently re-released a two-volume hardbound book of his work that's satirized four U.S. presidents. Tom Tomorrow, 25 Years of Tomorrow. Also, Crazy is the New Normal, his latest publications. This coming Saturday, Dan will be speaking at the Englert Theater in Iowa City as part of the Witching Hour Festival. He joins me for this half-hour. Award-winning cartoonist Dan Perkins, how great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's start off at the Englert Theater because you grew up here in Iowa City. What do you have any special memories connected with the Englert?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I go back far enough that the Englert was a movie theater when I was a kid and a teenager. And so it was the movie palace of my youth. You know, it was where I saw more movies than I could, you know, possibly even remember. And of course, back in those days, they always showed cartoons before the movies. So it's kind of wonderful to think that I'm going to stand on that stage and show my own cartoons.
What sorts of things do you like to do with an audience?
I've adapted the presentation to the fact that I'm in Iowa City, and I talk a bit about my local roots and how that affected the cartoon. But basically, I have a sort of base presentation that I'm constantly adapting. I was just in Italy for 2 weeks. We've published a crowdfunded Italian compilation, and my organizers over there pulled together this tour where I was going to numerous arts festivals and so on. And the presentation that I pulled together for that just didn't translate. The translators couldn't keep up. They couldn't figure out the jokes and so forth. And so I just had to throw the whole thing out and make up something new, you know, on the fly. So I like to talk to the audience. I like to connect to the audience, mm-hmm. connect with the audience.
Now, do you find, and humor is notoriously difficult to cross language and cultural barriers, you're known outside of the United States and Canada. Do you find that you're known for different things or it's received differently when you go to Italy or other places?
Well, in the case of Italy, a lot of the time, it's just a matter of being lucky. And I had the great good fortune that someone involved in the comics community there, who is also a very good translator, got very interested in my work. It's my friend Carlo Gubitosa, who spends a lot of time both Googling all these obscure references that I make and also writing these extensive footnotes, both for the book, and I run in a monthly Italian comics magazine, thanks to Carlo. So in this case, it's just, you know, having the good fortune of having someone on the ground who, you know, works to explain what I'm talking about to the Italian audience.
Let's talk a little bit about current politics. I wonder if you could tell us about, a lot of your recent work has dealt with Donald Trump. He's been in office for, I don't know, coming up on 10 months, something like that. I wonder if you could share one that I'm holding in my hand called the Old Trump Two-Step, because it skewers not only Donald Trump, but also the media treatment of Donald Trump.
Right. This strip is in a sort of circular format so that it both starts and ends with the first panel, because this is a constantly repeating cycle. In the first panel, the caption says, "Trump goes wildly off script," and there's Donald Trump saying, "Some flesh-eating zombies are great people. The media are the real enemies of America, and the victim here is me, Donald J. Trump. That I can tell you." This was written after the events in Charlottesville, where he said there were fine people on both sides. So this goes to the second panel, in which pundits react with dismay, say, you know, this bizarre behavior raises questions about his fitness to serve, and if only we'd had some indication of his fundamental irrationality earlier. Then it goes to the third panel, in which Trump reads a lackluster speech off the teleprompter, mostly as written. And he says, "Flesh-eating zombies are very bad, and I disavow them, all right? I disavow. God bless America and the troops, blah, 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 blah." And then pundits are overjoyed. And then the same pundits are saying, "It's such gravitas. This was the moment he became presidential. Never mind the last time we said that or the one before that." And then it goes back to the first panel, in which Trump says something crazy and off script, and the whole cycle begins again. And we've seen this so many times. Every time he manages to appear in public and basically read what it says to read on the teleprompter, and he doesn't veer off script too much, then there are people on TV saying now he's being presidential, because people, and especially people in pundits on TV, are just so desperate for some sense of normalcy. And I hate to break it to you, but we're way beyond normalcy. We are never going to have a sense of normalcy while this man is president.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, you've satirized four presidents, is that right, going back to 1991?
Yeah, I mean, when I was really starting out, I would occasionally mention Ronald Reagan, but I think four presidents is fair to say.
So both Republicans and Democrats,
yes.
But you view this as a real departure, and you felt it as a satirist as well, that this is something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is what people are constantly saying to me is, "Oh, you must be loving this. There's so much material." But the problem is, it's so outrageous. Satire is the art of taking things to a ludicrous extreme in order to make your point. And what everyone is grappling with right now, all the cartoonists I know and comedians, what everyone is grappling with is that the president himself is the ludicrous extreme. How do you make cartoons about someone who is a walking caricature? Coming up with something that's more absurd than the things that he actually says on any given day is driving us all crazy.
Mm. How are you dealing with it? And you're talking with others, it sounds like.
How am I dealing with it? I have one cartoon a week, and I just do my best to to write a cartoon. I don't look too far down the road beyond that.
Do you find, as we in journalism do, that what you may plan for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, you've got a weekly thing, that it's completely overshadowed by something that happens a few hours ago?
Yeah, the pace of it is exhausting. I'm at least on the East Coast, so I wake up and I have my coffee and turn on my computer, and I see what the day's latest crazy tweet storm is about. But his first month in office, first full month in office last February, I was out on the West Coast for the entire month. So, I'm 3 hours behind. I'm still waking up pretty early, but on local time. So it's, 10 a.m. on the East Coast. And every day when I would get up, it was just this kind of sense of overwhelming of dread of, what has been going on for the past 3 hours that I have to get up to speed on. and you're absolutely right. I can't count the number of times that I've had to rewrite a cartoon or a line or replace a panel or something because I would file the cartoon on a Friday afternoon and hope to take the weekend off, and then something happens over the weekend. There basically is no more time off. I'm keeping one eye on Twitter almost all the time now just to see what's going to happen next.
you just joined us, my guest this half hour is award-winning cartoonist Dan Perkins. His pen name, Tom Tomorrow, and his weekly strip, This Modern World, appearing regularly in over 80 newspapers across the U.S. and Canada. Dan, I looked on one Amazon review I particularly liked because regardless of your politics, it really sort of summed up your work. And I think your role, I want to ask you about your role in a minute, but we'll react to this to see if this has nailed it. Truly no satirist has ever captured the ever-deepening insanity of American politics like Tom Tomorrow. This Modern World has been a touchstone for me through so much crazy, reflecting back that I am not crazy, showing how politicians of all sides dissemble and make a mockery of our democracy. Tom Tomorrow's sharp commentary brings into clear focus the absurdity of American culture and makes it hurt just a little less. Do you like that?
I'll take it.
How do you see your role? And how do you know when, what is your goal, and how do you know you've achieved it with, I don't know, a series of strips?
I think, well, as you say, you know, I've been doing this through both Democratic and Republican administrations. And it's not to say, you know, I have very clear politics. I'm very clearly on the left, and I think that's pretty obvious reading my work. But I have always felt that it is my job to be a skeptic and not a cheerleader. So, you know, during the Obama years, there were many things that I agree with, or at least came to support to some degree. But there were many things I disagreed with too, and I wrote about those things, and it made people mad because a lot of my readers, or the people who would be naturally inclined to appreciate my cartoon, did not really appreciate it when I was criticizing Obama for being too much of a centrist or for the abuses of the surveillance state that were revealed during his administration and or the drone warfare campaign, the fact that the president had a kill list. These were terrible precedents, and the thing that concerned me was, you know, okay, fine, you trust Barack Obama with these powers, that's terrific, but someday there's going to be someone in the Oval Office that you don't trust to have these powers, and I think now we are living in that moment.
Mm. Dan, take us through a little bit of your creative process, how you come up with your weekly work, from the idea to through to the creation.
Boy, I wish I understood it myself, because it would be much more efficient. I spend a lot of time wandering around the house, kind of waiting for it to happen. But basically, you know, there are different components, and the first component is just doing research, you know, reading up on the news and staying abreast of the news and knowing what you're talking about. That's a really important part of it, and that just takes up a lot of time. So I spent a lot of time, you know, reading the news stories that come out, whatever catches my eye. It's kind of random, really. I use Twitter a lot as a filter. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, if something keeps popping up on my feed, you know, that catches my eye, things like that. And then, you know, once I have sort of spent, you know, I have the luxury, because I started out in the weekly press, of just doing one cartoon a week, so for better or worse, because sometimes it means the whole process drags on way too long, but I have sort of the luxury of time. So I spend a lot of time reading, and then I just kind of sit down with a blank sheet of paper and try to come up with something funny, or try to figure out how some disparate elements that I've been reading about fit together to make a larger point. And this is kind of the tricky part. This is kind of the stumbling block, where I will be happily going along with my week, and then the moment where I actually have to put pen to paper, that can take a little while. That can be the frustrating part of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you bounce your ideas off of anyone to make sure, or do you always trust yourself?
Well, both. I mean, I do trust myself, but I you know, I will run things by my wife just to make sure that I haven't gone too far down a rabbit hole and no one else is going to have any idea what I'm talking about. And I have a few cartoonist friends. If I have one that I'm not sure if it works, I have a couple of cartoonist friends that I will run the idea by and see what they think.
My guest, if you just joined us, is award-winning cartoonist Dan Perkins. His pen name, Tom Tomorrow, creator of the cartoon This Modern World, which appears every week. A number of your recent cartoons, Dan, have dealt with the incredible Trump. tell us about what's behind that idea, first of all.
Well, that character developed during the campaign when Trump was just crashing through the primaries and you know, smashing all norms and all sense of propriety. So I started drawing him as the Incredible Hulk, basically, except that he's orange and very large. And it was a good riff during the campaign. But when he was elected, I looked at this image of him, you know, this with the exaggerated muscles and the giant hand. Trump is famously sensitive about the fact that he has sort of disproportionately small hands. So I was looking at this caricature after he won, and it's a drawing of Trump overly muscled with giant hands, and I thought he would find this flattering. And that kind of killed the character for me, though I did recently reboot it. But now when he turns into the Incredible Trump, he grows very large but not very muscular. So he has kind of tiny hands, and I just felt it was a better representation.
How did this all start for you, drawing? Did that happen while you were living in Iowa, drawing cartoons and also the satire to kind of bite into our society?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of comics. My dad worked for the university, and we had access to the university library, and he used to bring me home big stacks of cartoon books from the library. I remember volumes of New Yorker cartoons from the 1950s, you know, which I had no idea what any of them meant, but I loved comics. But I was a big fan of Mad Magazine and of Charles Schulz. Those were two huge influences for me, and I was definitely reading both of those while I was in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the style that you have? I don't even know. What do you call this style?
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it either. It's sort of based on retro advertising imagery, although it's kind of developed beyond that as I've moved along in my career and as I became more political and so forth. But I was always interested in cartooning, but I was also interested in collage. And in fact, this part of the story very specifically happened in Iowa City. I was working downtown at Zephyr Copies, so I had access, you know, in the pre-Photoshop era, I had access to the technology of the age, which was, you know, Xerox machines that could enlarge or reduce images. And at an antique store on, I think it was on South Lynn Street, I bought a stack of old Life magazines once for, you know, a dollar or two. And I was amazed and fascinated by the old advertising imagery, these relentlessly cheerful images designed to, you know, you're designed to convince you that your life will be better if you just buy this product, because, you know, advertising was a lot less subtle in the 1940s, 1950s. I have one that I clipped out from one of those magazines. It's an ad for cough drops or something. And the caption is literally, "He won't love you if you cough due to a cold." And I always show that in my shows because it's really just the pure essence of advertising, like this absurd statement designed to undermine your confidence and convince you that you need to buy a certain product. So the look of the strip basically evolved over 20 years and kind of grew out of that fascination with these old advertising images. But that actually started in Iowa City for me.
You said you go day by day, and in most recent times, it's difficult to look too far ahead. You said something like that a few moments ago. What are your future plans, though? Is this something you want to continue for decades? Do you see yourself moving in any certain directions as an artist, as a political commentator?
Well, this is an interesting question because as the title of the book suggests, I've been doing this for a quarter of a century or longer at this point. And that book, 25 Years of Tomorrow, that's from IDW Publishing. But that book started out as a crazy Kickstarter dream. I realized I was coming up on my 25th anniversary doing this work, and I thought that's a really long time, and I don't know, you know, do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to, you know, put it aside? Do I want to try something else? But I thought that I should at least get all these archives together, all these boxes of stuff, all this stuff that would just be lost if I didn't pull it together and organize it. And so I had this idea of putting together this giant 1,000-page, what turned out to be a 15-pound, two-volume set. There was no publisher in the world who was ever going to publish this book, so I took it to Kickstarter. And as it turned out, we raised $80,000 in less than 24 hours, and we eventually topped out at $310,000. But then IDW came to me and said, this is great. We'd like to put out a second edition and have it in comic book stores. And they did.
Thank you very much for this conversation, Dan Perkins, a.k.a. Tom Tomorrow. Dan, you'll be coming this Saturday to the Englert Theater, where you used to watch cartoons in Iowa City as part of the Witching Hour Festival. Creator of This Modern World, Dan Perkins. Such a joy to have you on the program. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's it for today. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Help today also from Robbie Broad. Executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.